Michelle, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Why are you changing the way you train people on suicide prevention?
We were teaching people to look for warning signs and to ask questions. And what we found was in 2 years, we were using a training program that was great. And we realized that the community was listening and people would call and say, we took your class and we have someone we're concerned about. And that's wonderful. But after about 2 years, we started doing some program evaluation with what we were teaching and the questions that were being asked. And they just weren't all encompassing questions. They were very simplistic. It didn't ask like the behaviors that aren't necessarily geared towards suicide, but geared toward behavior. For instance, we had someone about 4 years ago who said to us, no, I haven't thought about suicide. But it wasn't until the clinician sat and talked to them and asked more about behaviors that she said, I'm very religious. I would never take my life. But if I drive across the street on my bike and someone hits me, then I haven't killed myself. That's a behavior that's huge. And so we started looking around as to how can we expand? We are very evidence-based in what we do. We try to very much go for what's been researched. And we were lucky enough to find Dr. Posner's Columbia Suicide Severity Rating Scale. It was more encompassing than what we were using before. It asks questions on a deeper level, and I think it has far more impact. So that's why we decided to switch.
Kelly, thanks for being here, too.
It's my pleasure.
So tell me a little bit about how this Columbia Suicide Severity Rating Scale works.
We were helping to run at Columbia this important national effort, the first intervention study for the treatment of adolescent suicide attempters. Even though it's the second or third leading cause of death in that age group, there had never been a large study to look at how to help them. So in this important national effort, we had every questionnaire for suicide and depression, and the experts, the global experts, said, there's nothing to do this, to look at suicidal ideation and behavior, to look at the full range of things we need to look at density and severity or track severity. So we created it to fill this very gaping hole in the field, because for a long time, whether it's, you know, the teacher, the grandmother, or the policeman, people had been really eager, or the doctor, for the right questions to help them identify people at risk.
How do you gauge the severity? You talked about questions.
Yes.
Can you give an example
yeah.
of questions that you would ask to find out if somebody is thinking about suicide?
Absolutely. The Columbia scale looks at both suicidal thoughts and suicidal behavior. And when you're looking at somebody's risk for suicidal thoughts, you would start with the question, have you wished you were dead or wished you could go to sleep and not wake up? Or have you actually had thoughts of killing yourself? If that's yes, then they would go on to be asked, have you thought about how you might do this? Have you had these thoughts and had some intention of acting on them? Or have you started to work out or worked out the details of how to kill yourself? Do you intend to carry out this plan? Now, people only get asked those last few questions if they actually have a thought. So, you know, there's an increasing severity algorithm. And then for behavior, very importantly, for the first time, it covers the full range of behavior. It used to be that a doctor or a clinician or a policeman would only be trained to ask about a suicide attempt. And then you miss the person that bought the gun yesterday, or put the noose around their neck and changed their mind, or wrote the suicide note. You know, things we absolutely cannot afford to miss. And, you know, we have science now showing us that those other serious suicidal behaviors are the overwhelming majority of behaviors that people at risk are going to engage in. And we were never even asking about them before. So we're at a place where everybody everywhere can ask these questions. Now, that grandmother or that bus driver, they're not gonna go into an in-depth assessment of risk. They're just gonna know whether somebody needs to go to a next step in places where nobody else is gonna get to identify
just
them.
Somebody asking someone
yes.
if they're okay. I mean, that's
basically
how simple it
with
is.
Some more specific questions that help us identify people at risk in a better way. And what we anticipate, right, is that we will start to see not only the gains in, you know, unnecessary hospitalizations and interventions, but of course, hopefully, ultimately, reductions in the ultimate outcome, you know, suicide and suicidal behavior.
Well, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.